Hear now the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fear is a powerful emotion. We've, of course, seen a lot of it over these recent years. Some people are afraid to take a new vaccine. Others are afraid that the government's going to control their lives. And still others have been afraid of a very serious and deadly virus. But being afraid is a neutral emotion, and some things you'll be afraid of that others won't be afraid of. You can tell that when you hold a snake and show it to your brother, or you bring a frog into the house and show it to your mother, or you drive down highways at extreme speeds with a car full of friends. We're all afraid of something. We all experience fear, not just the same fears, at the same time. And no, it doesn't mean that you don't have faith, and doesn't mean that you don't trust God. In fact, God has given us the ability to feel fear for a reason. It is supposed to keep us from doing dumb stuff, keep us from hurting ourselves or hurting others. Fear is supposed to be our body's alert system to warn us of danger. Of course, like other emotions, fear is not always rational. We all fear some things that maybe we should not fear, but we don't always know that in the moment. Our body just kind of reacts to things and for various reasons. But with time and experience, we might learn whether we should be afraid of something or not. Because there are things in the world that we should be afraid of, right? So growing up, some of us have learned that we shouldn't feel fear, though. We were told that you should not feel it. And so we don't know what to do when these natural emotions start coming up. We don't know how to react to them. So some of us suppress that emotion until we become so numb that we don't even know that we're doing dumb things or things that are hurting ourselves or hurting others. Those people who tend to do foolish things and they think they're being courageous, but really they're just acting foolishly. But fear can be useful too. It can motivate us to work well, to do a good job, to pay careful attention to the details, or to protect ourselves or to protect others. I had a supervisor when I was in the Navy looking over my shoulders once when I was doing this job for the very first time. On the submarine, we have these huge 8-ton hatches that would open up, missile hatches. And this was my first job, first time on the board by myself during an actual, you know, job like this. And all it took was a twist of a switch to make one of those hatches open up. Well, if you understand, while we're in port, there are people walking on top of the submarine, back and forth. Shipyard workers coming and going, sailors. There's huge pieces of equipment, blowers and whatnot, sitting on top of some of those hatches. So it's very important that you chose the right switch to turn. From deep within the submarine, no visual of what's going on top side. So one out of 24 of those hatches, you had to make sure you got the right one that was already cleared and ready for you to open. If you didn't, you could kill somebody, or you could launch somebody off into the bay, which may be funny, but it could really hurt somebody. So this was a serious job, especially doing it for the first time. You didn't want to mess it up. So I was terrified. Afterwards, the supervisor who was watching over my shoulders, he said, "I didn't realize this was your first time doing this. I would have paid closer attention to you." And then to which somebody else in the room said, "Don't worry, Chief. You don't have to worry about the new timers, the first timers, because they're so afraid they're doing it right. They're doing it the right way. They're actually following the procedure." So the right amount of fear can be good for you. It could help you. It could be useful in many situations. But of course, too much fear and anxiety can cause you to freeze up or to run away in fear, and that's not always helpful for yourself or for others either. So it's not a matter of fear or no fear, but really a matter of what are you going to do with that fear? What are you doing with that emotion, those anxieties? Will it assist you? Will you use it to help you? Or will it hurt you? So first, let's look at the encouragement Joshua needed during some fearful and challenging times that he was facing in our scripture reading today. In our scripture reading today, it sure sounds like Joshua needed some encouragement. Those words, "be strong and courageous," they're repeated three times with increasing intensity, it seems. And I wouldn't blame Joshua for needing a little encouragement. He was doing the job for the first time. Doing something new or handling change at work or in the family or in church, it can be very difficult for a lot of people. Change is very difficult for a lot of people. Change means I have to pay attention because we're doing things differently and in a new way. I have to pay attention to the new software or the new procedure or the new protocol. I have to work harder is what it means. There's a struggle to doing something new because you're figuring it out. It's the first time, right? It means I have to learn new things and maybe make mistakes for the first time, and I'm not used to making mistakes because the old way I knew so well. I didn't have to make any mistakes. Change means I'll be taking new risk. And finally, change means a loss or grief. I have to grieve what I called the glory days, when I was the expert and everybody looked to me for the answers and the solutions. You lose something when you change. So there's a lot of fear in change, whether we're changing jobs or changing roommates or moving to a new city or starting college or having a baby. Joshua was going through change, a huge change, and he was asked to lead a whole group of people through this time of change and transition as they're on this mission together. God promised his people redemption and deliverance from Egypt and also an inheritance of land. So the book of Joshua that we're reading from this morning describes the conquest of that land and the distribution of the land. But it starts with a change of command, doesn't it? It starts with this change of command. Change happens right away here. Israel's beloved leader Moses has died. Joshua, son of Nun, was meant to take over the responsibilities. And in our reading of chapter 1, Joshua receives the commissioning from the Lord himself to lead the people into the promised land. Can you imagine filling the shoes of Moses? Moses, that great leader who performed signs and wonders before the great superpower of the day, Egypt, and their leader, Pharaoh. Moses, that great leader who led God's people through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, around the wilderness, who went up Mount Sinai and received the law from the very fingers of God himself. I mean, what bigger shoes could you fill? Moses is dead now, Joshua, the Lord says. Now you the man. You the man, Joshua. You will lead my people, but not just across the wilderness, not just in the desert journeys, but you will lead my people into the land of the Canaanites, where you will have to lead them into battle. You will have to maintain the unity of the nation. You'll have to help them through difficult times. And yes, you are leading the same old bunch of cantankerous, stubborn, complaining, rebellious people that Moses led. You're welcome. It's no wonder he needed a little encouragement to be strong and courageous. Joshua is a new leader, leading people during a time of great change and transition. It's going to be a time of learning new things for everybody. It's going to be a time of making some mistakes and hopefully learning from them. It will be a time of saying goodbye and grieving the loss of the beloved leader, Moses, saying goodbye to the Moses style of leadership and his gifts and unique abilities, and learning to grow in a new relationship with a new leader, Joshua, Joshua's style, and Joshua's gifts and abilities, because every leader is a little different, right? Joshua is doing this for the very first time. Joshua needed strength and courage. We need strength and courage too. Maybe you're getting ready to graduate or to go off to college or to the job market for the first time this year. Maybe you need to have some very difficult conversations with your teenage child or grandchild. Maybe you're just having a difficult time making ends meet and you just don't know how you're going to get the bills paid this month. Whatever it is, we all have struggles. We all have pains. We all have challenges in our lives. We need strength and courage too. Together as a church, we need strength and courage as well if we're going to make an impact for Christ in our community and in our world. Many forces work against us: culture, bad habits, sin, lack of vision. But God has called us to take risks, to give and not expect anything in return, to love and not be loved back, to engage and challenge the culture and the attitudes that are contrary to the ways of Christ. Together, we need strength and courage to be on mission together and making disciples into disciple makers in a nation, in a culture, in a world that is increasingly rejecting Christ and the biblical truth claims. So like I mentioned, the Lord had to repeat himself, or he chose to repeat himself three times with increasing intensity here. Be strong and courageous, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. I'm sorry, that's verse 6. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And the people tell Joshua the same thing at the end of the chapter in verse 18. Only be strong and courageous, they tell him. This is one of those chapters where it doesn't take a lot of work to figure out what the theme is there. Again, why does Joshua need strength and courage? First, he's following in the footsteps of a great leader, Moses, who has just died. Huge change. Second, he's becoming a leader of a nation for the first time, a nation with high expectations of their leader, and a nation with great promises from God of what she will become. Don't mess this up, Joshua. And third, Joshua is being asked to immediately lead his nation into war. He's a wartime leader from the get-go. Joshua is called to lead the people into a fight against hardened and experienced warfighters, the Canaanites. They have to fight in the mountainous terrain and against fortified cities. This will not be easy. This will not be easy. And it would certainly be impossible without strength and courage that came from God. So secondly this morning, where God calls, he also gives what is needed in the moment. Where God calls, he also gives what is needed in the moment. So we're once again talking about trust, aren't we? Trusting in God, that God would come through when it counts. We're talking about trusting God when everything is at stake and we could lose everything. We're talking about trusting God when we have no guarantees of the future, no guarantees for success or victory. We're talking about trusting God when the path is painful, hard, and the mission is calling or asking more from you than you think you have to give. You're trusting God to give that to you in the moment. Yeah, Joshua, you will experience fear. You will experience some uncertainty. Young leader, you will not have the best information to make all of your decisions. You will not have all the information. Sometimes you'll be doing the best that you can with what you have at the time. There will be times when you doubt yourself, and you question your abilities. You question God, if God knew what he was doing when he called you to this task. That's why God repeats himself here three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. But that command, that encouragement, it doesn't come without backing. It doesn't come without pillars of support or a foundation. Be strong and courageous is a command that comes with three assurances that Joshua will need on this quest and calling to lead God's people into the promised land. The first assurance is this, found in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, it says in verse 6, because I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God says, I will lead these people. I will lead these people. I, God, have made a promise. I intend to keep my promise. This mission of yours is based on a promise of God that goes way back. Freedom from Egypt was only the beginning. God providing in the wilderness was only support for the journey. But God had promised land as the destination, a place of rest. God has been leading his people all this way so that they would be ready to take the land and be God's people in the land. But the question remains, will they have the courage? Will they have the strength to do what's needed? The question remains, will God's people be obedient? Will they be able to be light to the nations of the world? Will they have the courage and strength to follow God in God's ways when they're confronted by the ways of the world and the cultures and the countries around them? Will they still follow God when they hear all those other voices? When they're tempted to go and worship the idols because everybody else is doing it? When they're tempted to follow the crowd? Will they continue to follow God's word, God's ways? The second assurance is found in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. This sounds like more of a command than an assurance, doesn't it? But God's people have always considered God's law to be a life-giving gift, even a grace to them. God's law meant life. Following God's law meant wholeness and healthy living and a way to successful and living a victorious life as defined by God, whose opinion matters most. So the assurance is that success and victory are found in following God's ways for life. Life with God and lived in community as God's people together as a nation according to God's instructions. At the end of verse 8, it says, then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. The Hebrew word used there for successful also has the sense of being prudent and wise. So Joshua, he'll be a wise person, a wise leader, if he follows God's ways. Joshua, don't forget whom you serve, whom you live for when you're in the battle. When the chaos of life comes, when the fog of war happens. In verse 8, God tells him to meditate on God's law. And the Hebrew word there for meditate also has the sense of mutter, to mutter God's word. And the Israelites would mutter God's law under their breath, so to speak, while they were working in order to memorize it. They would read the law and they would recite it out loud and quietly, maybe while they were working. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall have no other gods before me. Something like that. And that way, as they recited the law, they memorized the law, and their minds and then their hearts were transformed and formed by the word of God. And when that happened, their actions would be formed and transformed by God's word as well. Keep my word always on your mind, God says, and you will be wise and find success. That's the second assurance God gives Joshua. What's the foundation, the pillars holding up that command, be strong and courageous. The third assurance is found in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Yeah, it was just the verse before, Lord. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So finally, and I believe God gives Joshua one of the greatest assurances here, the assurance of God's presence. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. He is not alone. He is not alone, even when he feels like he's alone. And Joshua, as a leader, you're going to feel like you're alone. A leader in battle, or a leader in business, a leader in the trenches, a leader leading groups through change. There will be times, many times, where the leader feels all alone. Decisions will have to be made where the leader may be the only one supporting that decision, but feels it's the right one to make. The leader will get flack from the flock because the decision means change. And of course, change is a struggle. Change means loss and grief and pain. The very people he's leading may turn on him and question his authority and challenge his competence. But God says, you will not be alone, Joshua. Remember this. I will be with you no matter where you go, even in battle against the giants in the land, even when you come up and you face those cities with those huge fortified walls. God says, don't worry, I've got you. I've got your back. I will provide and I will give you everything you need in the moment. Trust me. I go with you, Joshua. Remember, Joshua, you are called to a mission because I promised, and I am keeping my promise. Remember, keep my word always before you, no matter what you do or where you go, because my word will make you wise and successful. Remember, I will always be with you no matter what or where you're going and where you are in the world. There's no reason to allow fear or discouragement to freeze you up or cause you to run away. When you rest on these assurances that back up the command, be strong and courageous. There are many things that make us afraid and discouraged today, individually, as families, or together as churches. Some of us are too proud to admit it, but we all get fearful. We all get discouraged sometimes. Maybe it's the enormity of the task, like the first day in class when you get that syllabus and you see all that needs to be done in the next few months. How is this all going to get done? How am I ever going to be doing this combined with three or four other classes? Maybe it's the enormity of the task. Maybe it's the challenge of seeing our culture and our nation so divided, and you wonder, can we all be behind one goal again someday? Can we really be supporting and loving each other again? Or are we all just out for ourselves, fighting against ourselves? Maybe it's something personal that you're overwhelmed with right now or struggling with. You're not sure how you're going to make it, how you're going to get through. We all get frustrated. We all get fearful. We all get discouraged sometimes. But God speaks strength and courage into those situations. Today, God speaks strength and courage into our darkness, where we're fearful or anxious, whatever it may be. Like Joshua, we have no guarantees, no roadmaps, no step-by-step instructions on how to lead a family through this, or how exactly we're going to face those giants or climb those walls, or how to accomplish the mission that we feel God is leading us to. God says, trust me. I have ways to take care of walls that you have no idea what's going to happen. I have ways to handle those giants. I will lead you into the land. Even in the darkness of a lion's den, or in the hot furnace of persecution, or in the hospital room, or at the school board meeting, God speaks courage and strength to us. Be strong and courageous, because I promised, because I gave you my word to live by, and because I am with you. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you said to your disciples, and you say to us as well, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you for that promise of your presence, because sometimes that's all we have to hang our hope on in this world. Sometimes, Jesus, you are all we've got, because life is so uncertain and dangerous and challenging. Forgive us when we trust in the wrong things, in lifeless things, in things that actually damage us or pull us further and further into slavery of one kind or another. Speak into our challenges this morning, Lord, and into our challenging times as a nation. And then may we walk with you step by step, day by day, trusting you, trusting your word and your promises until one day that you bring us home. For this we pray in your name, Jesus.